Hi there, and welcome to A Different Way of Seeing. Have you ever wondered how a disabled person lives their life? Join our host, Lois Drachen, as she chats to people about work, education, travel, sport, the arts, and leisure, and the tools and techniques they use to live their lives with the disability. And now, on with the show.
Hi there, and welcome to today's episode of A Different Way of Seeing, a podcast where we talk all things disability. Today is another episode in our Job Talk series, where we talk to people with disabilities who are working in mainstream jobs. And today on the call, we are joined by Chris Mitchell to talk about his work. Well, he does all sorts of different things, which we'll probably touch on, but primarily we're chatting to him today to understand his work as a mindset coach. Chris, how are you doing today?
I'm doing wonderful. Thank you very much for inviting me to speak to your wonderful audience. You've been a guest on my podcast, and it was a great experience. I'm looking forward to the same here.
I had so much fun on your show, and you know, I've shared that with my community, so it's only fair to return the favor. So, Chris, as a starting point, can you tell us a little bit about yourself and your story?
Sure, yes. My name is Chris Mitchell. I was born long time ago, yeah, in the 60s, actually, where this was more common, at least here in the States. I'm in the United States, by the way. Let's clarify that for everybody. You probably could tell I have an accent. To me, I don't. But anyway, I was born in the 60s when rubella syndrome, which is a fancy word for German measles, was maybe more common is the way to put it. And I was born with birth defects from CRS, which is the congenital rubella syndrome, which means to lay people, my mom was exposed to the German measles unbeknownst to her while she was carrying me. And she never really got sick, maybe just, you know, like morning sickness a little bit, but it turned out she had been exposed to German measles. She was a teacher at a school, a high school, and we believe this is what she has told me. One of the students came to school with German measles in her class, and she was unaware of that. Now, my birth defect, the congenital rubella syndrome, caused several issues. Now, it can cause mental retardation. It did not for me. It can cause hearing impairment or deafness. It did not for me. But it did cause me a visual impairment. I am legally blind. And by the United States standards, I'm legally blind, which means I'm 20/200 in my left eye, 20/300 in my right. In the United States, your best eye cannot be any better than 20/200. So I do fall, just made it there on the legally blind scale. I was also born with a constricted aorta, which is near the heart, and which was kind of a narrow. This is how it explained to me as a kid. I'm not a doctor, so it's not going to be a medical explanation. One of the aortas was narrowing, and they had to put like a little straw on it to keep it from, I guess, collapsing, and had multiple surgeries at birth, again in first grade, third grade. And my last surgery for my constricted aorta was when I was in my mid-30s, which during that surgery, I had a little complication. We don't know exactly what went wrong because here in the United States, people like to sue for everything. So hospitals won't tell you everything at times. But I survived an ischemic stroke to my spinal cord, which to lay people is a stroke because it presents a lot like a stroke. I have weakness in the lower half of my body. But medically, it is an incomplete spinal cord injury that happened in my thoracic section of my spine. So I am technically, quote unquote, paraplegic from the waist down. And I say it that way because I do get around using a walker, well, we call them a rollator, because a walker has two wheels in the front and two tennis balls in the back. But a rollator has four wheels, two in the front, two in the back. So I use a rollator to get around. But for longer distances, I have to use a scooter. I also am neurodiverse. I have ADHD, which has been a very big and fun, challenging part of my life. That I do not believe was part of the CRS, but I'm not sure. And I had a severe speech impediment. I was late starting to talk, and I had a speech impediment that required me to start speech therapy before nursery school and all the way through high school. And I still have a little bit of a speech impediment today. So I think that pretty much catches you up to speed of everything about me in less than 5 minutes that anybody would care to know about.
That's quite something for a child to accommodate, growing up and facing those different accommodations that would need to be made.
Certainly, yes. It was I look at them as challenges. I don't look at them as obstacles or barriers or limitations. I look at them as challenges, and I tell people I eat challenges for breakfast because they taste better than Cheerios. So, yeah, they're all challenges to me.
That's a good way to look at things. Okay, so amongst the work that you do, I know you are an author, you're a speaker, and you do a lot of work in those areas. But
yes,
you're also a qualified mindset coach.
Yes, I'm a certified confidence life coach. Yes.
So for my audience who doesn't have a background in coaching, just explain a little bit about what a mindset coach does and who you are there to serve.
Okay. Now, at least in the United States, and I think it's globally, you do not have to get quote unquote certified. Coaching is similar to like seeing a counselor or a therapist, but there's certain things as coaches I cannot and I will not do because I'm not qualified. I'm not a mental health expert. I should be with all the stuff I've been through in my life, but I'm not really studied that per se in a traditional formal environment through university or anywhere like that. So coaches generally help people who have struggles in their life and to overcome those struggles or to even reach some goals that they set. It's very similar to counseling, but it's different in a way that we don't go into a lot of the psychiatric care. I mean, if you are dealing with depression and suicide here in the States, you would see a qualified counselor, psychiatrist, or psychologist. I can't and I won't work with people who have suicidal thoughts because I'm not qualified to it. I don't want anyone to get hurt. So we stay away from that. But what I mainly do is try to help people discover, develop, and grow their self-confidence. And I primarily work with people in the disabled community. As I mentioned, I'm a person with multiple disabilities. I've had many of them all my life. So I know what it's I had that firsthand experience where I'm able to authentically connect with people who are visually impaired. I'm able to authentically connect and relate to people who are physically disabled. And I'm able to authentically connect with people who are neurodiverse, in particular with ADD, ADHD, because I went through a lot of the struggles some of the people I work with or would be working with go through. With my ADHD, I have impulse issues. I have meltdowns. I mean, most people outgrow temper tantrums and meltdowns when they're like 6 or 8. I don't have that many temper tantrums, but I still have meltdowns. In fact, I was talking to my wife the other day and I said, you know what? I think my meltdowns are pretty much gone. And she said, no, they're not. They're still here. You still have them. They're not as big as they used to be. I mean, I'm in my 50s now. So it takes a lot of energy to have a meltdown, but I still have meltdowns. And when I have a meltdown, I feel horrible about myself afterwards. I feel embarrassed. I feel horrible. And I don't like myself that much. And that damages my self-confidence. And this happens to other people who are neurodiverse or even not. We all have bad days and all. And if we have a lot of them, we feel really bad about ourselves. So for myself, I've been doing this for me for over 30 years. I help myself see that meltdown is just a part of me. It does not define who I am. Because I got kicked out of high school in 9th grade and for kicking a principal, which was not a good idea. And I wound up in a special education program for kids with behavior problems. And whenever any of us acted out in that classroom, our teacher, Mrs. Lyons, a wonderful lady, she had a mantra. I like you. I don't like your behavior. Now, up to that point in my life, nobody had showed me my behavior was just a part of me and was not my entire identity. So I've used that thinking for the last 30 almost 40 years, they separate when I do have a bad day, when I have a meltdown, when I have struggles or challenges because of my disabilities or whatever, I realize it's just a little piece of me, not my entire identity. And that helps me with my self-confidence. And I do the same for people who are in the disabled community who are struggling with self-confidence so they can have the confidence to do whatever they want in life, including being self-employed or finding traditional work.
That's really important work. And I think, you've raised so many issues that I can resonate with doing similar work within the disability community that, confidence is a huge challenge that many people face because of the stigma, the stereotyping that so often happens of not being able to see the potential within those of us who do live with disabilities.
So, absolutely. I'm sorry. Yes, absolutely. I totally agree with that. Yeah. Here in the United States, I call it the big three A's: ableism, the ableist society, and ableism, which does a lot of damage to people with disabilities. But we have the choice to either let that damage us or let that empower us.
That is so true. So Chris, tell us a little bit about, the training and how you, apart from your lived experience, your preparations and the training that you did to become a coach and the accreditations that you have.
Sure. Yes. There's a lot of ways you can go through training. You could do self-paced. You can do an actual, virtual program where you can interact with other people, with instructors, that kind of thing, like a traditional online course. I went the self-paced training because I know this is hard to believe. You're interviewing me. You've been on my show and people are listening right now. I have social anxiety, so I don't do all that well talking to a lot of people. So I did self-paced training, which is the same as group training, but without the, being too people-y for me. So I went through a organization called the Transformational Academy. They're based here in the United States. I want to say Florida, but I could be wrong. And I took their courses, took five of them, I believe, to earn my Master Life Coaching certification. I believe because I don't really focus on the other ones that kind of incorporated in their happiness certification. But the ones that I really am most interested in is Master Life Coaching and my self-confidence coaching. There were some others I took within that Master Life Coaching certification to complete that. And I did pay attention and learn from it, but I'm very much more, I know that's horrible grammar. I know grammar police are going to be after me for that, that I enjoy the self-confidence, the most, because that's something I struggle with. I remember being back in 1992. Yes, I'm that old. Remember, I was born in the 60s, people, feeling very depressed about who I was and feeling defeated. I was, had been in and out of some psychiatric hospitals because of some severe depression I had. And I just learned my brother was going to become a nephew. He was going to become a father. That's it. I'll understand a family tree shortly. Don't worry about it, folks. I will. And I realized I don't want my nephew to ever see me on all the psychiatric medicine. So I don't recommend doing this. I quit all of them. You should talk to your doctor first, but I didn't. And I started looking towards how I could become more confident in myself and become a successful person. That's where it started. And I went through the training, like we were talking about a moment ago, the Transformational Academy, as well as my life training to get to where I am today. And it was just an online course that took me, because I did it at my own pace, it took me about 6 to 8 weeks to do because I wanted to fully involve myself with it. And I don't just stop there. I don't just stop with the certification I got. I love watching YouTube videos from people who are influencers in self-confidence and personal development. I read books all the time. I read articles, magazines, because I believe as a coach, and I think this applies to almost anything you do in life, it's continuous education. You can't just say, well, I know everything, because there's no way you're going to know everything. And so I like to keep up on top of it. I like to learn new things. I like to share them. I kind of think of myself like a mother bird. I learn all this stuff and then I get to forgive me if anyone's eating, regurgitate that information back to people in a new way that maybe they did not hear it. Because you may have heard it from five different people, but maybe that sixth person is going to say it in a way that's going to resonate with you. That's why, you know, the different type of coaches, I'm not going to resonate with everybody, and others won't either. So we're all doing about the same thing, but we have different styles because there's so many different types of people on the planet. So I know I went way beyond the question, the scope of your question, but I think I'm pretty much done, unless there's some more elaborating you'd like me to do.
It's all good. It's all useful information to put out into the world. I'm curious about whether you experienced any challenges in setting up your business.
Well, there's been a few challenges. Ironically, a little bit of confidence. Am I going to be good at this? Are people going to like me? Are people going to connect with me? Are people going to resonate with me? And one thing I had to realize, two things actually, you're going to get a lot more no's in life than yes. And if you're wanting to, if you're only going to feel good about yourself by getting yeses, you're going to have a very miserable life. And so, you know, that initial doubt that everyone go through when they start a business, is this going to work? Or am I going to be living out in a cardboard box next to the on-ramp for a highway? I have no idea, you know? So that's been a challenge for me. And then some of the challenges, which have been remedied in a way, have been not to mitigate the horrible, tragic loss of life in COVID-19, but COVID-19 has opened up so many doors for people with disabilities. For example, I don't drive. I'm visually impaired. I do not drive. And even if I did, I should not be driving. I believe every car should have a megaphone on it so you can tell people how much of a jerk they are in front of you. And I believe here in the United States, I don't know if it's culturally the same there, but raising your second finger in your hand is a defensive gesture. It's called giving somebody the bird. I believe in doing that. My wife keeps telling me, don't do that when we're driving. That guy's bigger than you and he can hurt you. So I should not be driving. But the point of this is being disabled in a community where I live now, which is kind of rural, we don't have public transportation. We barely have a paratransit system. So getting out and networking has been a challenge for me. But thankfully, from the advancement of a software like Zoom, which we're using to record this interview on, people who are disabled, who cannot get out, can connect with the world. And it's been a great thing. So that was an obstacle, networking, getting out of my home to network to let people know I exist. But this new invention called the internet and working from home becoming more mainstream and acceptable, at least here in the States, has really made it easier for me to do what I'm doing. It was an obstacle. Now, I have another obstacle that most people who are starting a business do not have. And that is my wife. Not that she's an obstacle. She's a wonderful person, but she had been diagnosed with stage 4 metastatic breast cancer. So while I'm starting and growing my business, I'm also spending a lot of time being her caregiver and advocating for her healthcare as she battles cancer in her breast and throughout her bones of her body.
And we do wish you and her a successful transition through that process. That's a very, very tough one to have to deal with.
Yes, it is.
I'm curious because I think, you know, the other aspect of working online in more than just reaching into kind of being able to reach out to people and work in an environment where you don't have access to transport, there's also the ability to reach out your brand globally. You're not restricted by geography. And I think that's one aspect that for me personally, as doing the work that I do as well, as a speaker, as a coach, it's so empowering. And yeah, as you say, you know, the pandemic really helped people to become more comfortable with shifting into the online space. So it has been something of a game changer for us.
Definitely, it has been. Like I said, I think you're the same page with me on this. We're not dismissing the tragic loss of life. I mean, I love the gains. I wish there was another way we had these gains without the human cost that we went through globally on the loss of life. So I want people to understand as we are celebrating this, that they lost a loved one to COVID or living long-term COVID. We're not saying, well, we're at least better off. No, no. I really do grieve for those that were tragically impacted by the COVID virus. And one of the things that's really important, and I'm just going to throw it out here, when you are working like we do remotely and all, there's cultural differences you have to be tolerant of and aware of. Here in the United States, I live in the Midwest. I live in the Missouri, which is almost the center of the country. And then, of course, everyone knows about California. It's on the West Coast. And what's California is a little bit more laid back than here in Missouri. Now, I'm originally from St. Louis, Missouri. I lived in California for 20 years, and I moved back to Missouri. And I'm more laid back like Californians are, but not everyone is. Like in New York, they're very tense, and time is money. It's the same in California. But Missouri, we have more of a, how are you doing? And more of a casual. And you, if you're going to be working with people online for different geographical areas, even within your own country, you have to be sensitive and aware that there's going to be some cultural differences and some social differences. I mean, what's acceptable in one part of the country may not be that acceptable in another. And you need to be aware of that. You need to try to understand globally, if you're working internationally, that's the same thing, not just a time difference. We discovered before we went on air today, you're 7 hours ahead of me. So we've had to work with that logistic of the time zone difference, because I start my day of doing like interviews about the time you're ready to call it a night and go to sleep. So we had to kind of come to a compromise when we scheduled this. But yeah, you need to be very open and aware that not only whatever your client is struggling with, but understanding to the best of your ability to about their culture and their beliefs, and maybe even use that as a point to get to know them better and get to build that relationship and that connection you can have with the person you are serving.
And I think that really does kind of feed into the next question that I was wanting to ask, because, yeah, I mean, we encounter the richness and diversity of people and across cultures, across ages, across geography. It's amazing to have an opportunity to work with people who are so diverse in their approach to the world. So if one looks then about the skill set that you believe make for a good coach, how would you kind of approach that question?
Well, you have, this is my opinion. Everyone has their own. People can have different opinions. That's fine with me. There's no judgment here. I have a no judgment zone policy with what I do. I don't judge people for how they live their life, what they do, as long as they're not hurting themselves or other people, or, you know, majorly breaking the law, like committing murder. I'm not really going to, I don't care. I mean, and that what makes us unique and makes us a wonderful global society is that we're tolerant of each other and want to learn about each other, which is one of the things that I think you need to be able to do as a coach. Have the willingness to learn about other people and how they see the world. I'm visually impaired, and I know, correct me if I'm wrong, but you are totally blind. Is that correct?
That is correct, yes.
Okay, so we have similar experiences because we've both been visually impaired, but I grew up here in the United States. You're in South Africa. So there's going to be a vast amount of differences on how we were raised and what we experienced and what we went through. And you cannot assume everyone as a coach, you cannot assume everyone, even though they have the same disability or a similar one, has had the same journey you have. You need to understand their journey and know about your journey and find ways you can connect to the two. Because to me, I think that connection is very important, where you and the person you're coaching, in this case, me, the coachee, my client, can connect. And as a coach, you want to feel that this is a person that you can connect with. And as a client, even more importantly, you got to feel that this is the coach that understands you, willing to listen to you for open mind, and that you're comfortable sharing anything, well, maybe not your credit card, but practically anything that's necessary to help that you give the information to the coach so he or she can help you reach whatever you and that coach has set out to be your end goal for the coaching program that you are working together through. And I like looking at it as I'm not a coach in a sense where I'm going to tell you what to do. I look at it as I want to guide you. I think the best coaches don't tell you the answers. They may point you in the direction so you can find the answers. If I tell you the answers, you can always be dependent upon me. Now, that'd be great for my bank account, but that's not really the right way to do things. I want to help people see solutions to problems on their own without me telling them, maybe guiding them and getting to think about things differently. But I want you to be able to come up with solutions and live your where you don't need me anymore. I know that does not sound like the best business strategy, but you know, I'm in this to really help people. And I know there are many in our coaching industry that are, but there are some who measure success by saying, I made 7 figures. I made 8 figures last year. And they care more about the dollar sign than, or at least they project that they care more about the dollar sign than actually helping people. And that drives me up a wall. I don't know what it is like in other countries, but in the United States, I think we worship money and the economy way too much instead of helping people, because that's what it's really all about to me, is helping people. I, of course, like to make a living at it and continue living indoors and support myself and my family. But at the end of the day, most important to me is how many lives did I change in a positive way, as opposed to how many dollars did I rack up in my bank account?
For sure. And I think it really is about empowering people to take the guidance and be able to apply it into other areas in their life, so that the next time they don't need to come to a coach. And it might sound counterintuitive to a lot of people, but ultimately, that's what a coach should be doing, in my opinion.
Exactly.
You know, we are there to support and guide other people, not to make them dependent on us, because that just shifts the dependency.
Like, yes, and like if somebody's coming to me with a certain problem and I know what they need to be doing, I'm not going to tell them that. I'm going to ask them questions to help them see what I like them to discuss and to find out on their own. So they have that feeling, that aha moment. Aha. Oh yeah. I never thought of it that way. Now I'm thinking of it that way, because they came up with that on their own. And when you come up with something on your own and you do it, you're going to have more, I believe you're going to have more energy to do it that way and take pride in it. Well, I'm doing this because my coach told me to, as opposed to I'm doing this because I want to. You're going to be more successful with the latter than the former.
And I think it also, you know, it increases your buy-in to the solution, because
exactly,
it's your solution, not your coach's.
Bingo.
Yeah. So, Chris, you know, both you and I are living with disabilities and we are both working in the coaching space. Why do you feel that coaching is a good potential career opportunity for people who are living with a disability?
Well, that's a great question. There are, unfortunately, for various reasons, new people joining the disabled community every single day. And many of them, it was not by their choice. They were in a car accident. They were the victim of a crime, whatever. Or they got they were diagnosed with, I'm putting anyone down, this is an example only, maybe MS or some other chronic illness that now allows them to, at least here in the United States, get one of those little blue placards so you can park really close to the front door of a building. And now you're in the disabled community and you're thinking, oh my gosh, my life has suddenly changed. What do I do? Who do I talk to? Doctors will tell you medical stuff, but they're not really good. And getting in to see a doctor and getting your insurance to pay for it, at least here in the States, is not the easiest thing to do. And the doctors could tell you stuff from textbooks and all, but they don't live that experience. And when you are a person with disability, whether you get a coach or not, you're newly disabled, community is very important. You want to find people who are like-minded, that went through similar experiences. There's a lot of them on social media. I hate social media, but there's a lot of groups out there. You can join and connect with other people who had shared experiences. Now, these groups are good, but there's some problems I've seen in some of them. I've been in some groups for people who are physically disabled, and the people in the group would make you think, if you're new, and this is my fear, you're newly disabled, you go to that group, you see their posts, and they say, oh, I'm never going to get anywhere in life because of ableism. Nobody's going to ever hire me because I'm disabled. They discriminate against me all the time. You're newly disabled. You're going to be thinking to yourself, or you may be thinking to yourself, oh boy, I am so screwed. My life is worthless now. And that's not true. You want to be in those groups for support, but you want to also find people who are positive and say, yes, your life has changed. Mine did. When I had my incomplete spinal cord injury, I lost the ability to run, walk, and even stand in a matter of minutes beyond my control. But that does not mean your life is over. It means you're facing challenges and you want to work with somebody who's going to tell you, yes, it's going to be challenges, but you can overcome them. Because a lot of these groups you go into, all they do, some of these people get into this, all they want to do is complain about how hard it is. They will tell you the problem, but they don't want to tell you a solution because they don't have one. And you suggest a solution, how horrible, I can't do that. You don't want to be around that. You need to be around positive people. And coaches who are disabled have been through the battles you're facing. They've overcame many of them or found ways around them. And they can help you do the same. And you may not get that in just a group of disabled people that are hanging out on a social media platform.
I think that's a very important point. You know, yes, community is important because that sense of isolation is so often a challenge for people who are newly disabled. And, you know, having being able to find places to reach out and gain a sense of opportunity, of potential, that can be really hard for someone who are newly dealing with the diagnosis of disability. And in terms of, you know, the role that a coach plays, I think, you know, you've put it into a really good light of saying, well, because a coach with a disability has lived, if not the same experience, then some of the same experiences and might be able to resonate. Many of my coaching clients have expressed to me that what they really appreciate about having a coach who, like them, has a disability is that it shortcuts, if there is such a word, a whole bunch of the conversations, because they don't have to explain the nuances, the context of what the reality is of living with a disability. So it's a really interesting space, because I'm not really aware of that many of us who are working in the coaching industry, and yet I do see the need for that level of understanding that possibly, and I'm not making any blanket statements here, but possibly might be more difficult for a potential client living with a disability to connect with a coach who doesn't have direct contact. So I think there's a whole interesting conversation there around, you know, similar experience and different experience that really does come into play when looking at this as a potential career opportunity for a person living with a disability.
Absolutely. A couple of things I like to kind of key off on what you said there. If I'm going to use you as an example, I do not mean this as offensive to anyone, but you're totally blind. Let's say, and if I remember your story correctly, you did have sight for a while in your life and then you lost sight.
Yeah.
Am I correct in saying that? Okay.
Yeah.
I remember that from you being on my podcast. So if a doctor told you, a doctor who has 20/20 vision or thereabouts, says, you know what, Lois, you will be able to learn how to read Braille. Or if somebody who is blind said to you, you can learn Braille, which is going to have more weight to you and more credibility to you?
Yeah,
and that is why if you are a person with disability, finding a coach who has a similar disability. Just that fact is going to give them more credibility than somebody who does not have that, because they did not have that shared experience that you are going through. And like you mentioned, that we can shortcut through some of the nuances and all, and might be able to say, instead of saying to the doctor, well, I don't know, how am I going to be able to do that without any sight? As a person who's blind to another blind person, you may be able to say, where do I learn how to read Braille? Because the doctor may not know.
Yeah.
So this is why it's really good to have a coach, and because coaches can be your ally and help you see parts of you, your good sides, instead of your bad. Because we so much focus in our world, especially you look at social media, on negative. And I have the thing I call Bob the Bouncer. We all have Bob the Bouncer. And Bob the Bouncer's job is to lay stuff into your mind and keep stuff out. Now, when somebody says something positive to you, or you have a positive thought, because it's so alien, because we don't have that many during the day, we have more negative, Bob the Bouncer bounces that good stuff out of your mind. We need to fire Bob the Bouncer, because he's not doing his job right. He needs to be keeping out all that negative and allowing in the positive. But Bob the Bouncer is doing it backwards. And that's one of the problems that we have. And this is why a coach can help you retrain your Bob the Bouncer, so he will start letting in and helping you believe the good things in life and not all the bad.
Thank you for introducing us to Bob the Bouncer. That's a lovely concept. Chris, if people would like to reach out to you to learn more about the work you do and to learn a little bit more about your lived experiences, where can they find you?
I'm on the internet at thechrismitchell.com. Chris Mitchell is a very common name, at least here in the States. So I could not get chrismitchell.com. So I'm not just an average Chris Mitchell. I'm the Chris Mitchell. And that's thechrismitchell.com. And that's my website. That's going to tell you about all that I do, the books that I've written and writing. I've self-published two books. I have a third one coming out spring of 2024, spring here in the States. I know Southern Equator is fall, but in the next 3 months, let's put it that way, that will be coming out. It will also connect you to my social medias, LinkedIn and Facebook, and my YouTube channel, which has over 300 videos that are full of the podcast interviews and other short videos to help you discover, develop, and grow and maintain your self-confidence as a person with a disability.
And we will share some of the links to those in the show notes.
Awesome.
So, Chris,
I appreciate that. Thank you.
As a final question, what does the future hold for Chris Mitchell?
Oh, that's a tough question. That is. I mean, what the future holds, nobody really knows. But I can tell you what I hope the future holds. And I used to think, oh, the future is going to do this. And then on April 8th, 2021, my wife had a seizure in the kitchen. And we're both in our 50s. She's going to love me for sharing that. And I figured, we got 20 plus years of great life before we have any serious medical problems. She had a seizure, and we find out she has stage 4 cancer. So that was not the future I was envisioning. So I can only tell you what I hope the future holds for me. But I am not a fortune teller. I see the future holding the potential, because it is only potential until you actually take action, of me helping as many people as I can in the disabled community to discover, develop, and grow their self-confidence and make a difference in the world. Because here in the States, we have a high unemployment rate of people with disabilities, but we're rocking it for self-employment. And I want to help people know that this is possible for them. I've done it. I've had a couple of other businesses before this, and they can do it too. And I want to give them that gift, because every person I met in the disabled community, and I, including myself, I want to be a productive member of society. And if traditional employment is not the right fit for you, there's self-employment, but you got to have the confidence to do it. And I believe that success, whatever your definition of it is, starts with self-confidence.
Thank you, Chris. So today on A Different Way of Seeing, we've been joined by Chris Mitchell, and we've been chatting about mindset coaching and more broadly about disability and, well, overcoming challenges. Chris, it has been absolutely fascinating to chat to you. Thank you so much for taking the time out of your busy afternoon and to chat to me today. Really appreciate it.
Thank you very much for having me as a guest today. And I wish all the success to you and all your wonderful audience members. And when you achieve that amount of success, then I'd like you to have just a little bit more success.
Thank you for listening to A Different Way of Seeing. We'd love to connect with you. So find Lois at loisstrachan.com or Facebook, Lois Strachan Speaker. This podcast was edited by Craig Strachan using Hindenburg Pro. Hindenburg, it's all about the story. The credits are done at Naledi Media. Naledi Media, all your vocal needs under one roof. Read by Charlie Yazi. That's it for now. Thank you for joining us and see you next time when we bring you into the world of seeing differently.